You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern at 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Don't be shy. Drop us a voicemail if you haven't before. If you're a continued caller, please dial in 331-979-1369. You can also drop us a text message. We're doing mailbag today, one of our many segments that we do every single week. So hit us up. We want to hear from you. 331-979-1369. Bowling with Bobby Portis. Tickets are on sale right now, so you can buy your tickets to the event. Less than 2 weeks away, September 8th, 2 to 6 p.m. at King's Dining and Entertainment in Lincoln Park. Buy your tickets today, eventbrite.com. Search Bowling with Bobby or Locked On Bulls. You'll be able to find our tickets there. Facebook and Twitter, we have an easy one-click link there if that's easier for you. So there's a bunch of different avenues to get tickets, but go buy your tickets right now. They're going to go quick. So please, if you want to hang out with us for an afternoon with Bobby Portis, free food, ton of bowling, ton of Bulls conversation, and so much more, head over to eventbrite.com. Buy your tickets today. Bowling with Bobby Portis, September 8th, 2 to 6 p.m. Matt, what's going on? Long time no see. We are here. We did our segment on CLTV last night. Thanks to Jarrett Payton and everybody at WGN for letting us come on and promote. We had some fun there. We've got a bunch of stuff to go over today. We've got mailbag to do. We've got some NBA, a little bit of NBA news to do as well. And then we're going to do a Bulls-related topic considering the All-Star game this year. But first and foremost, how you doing? What's going on?
Doing all right, Jordan. What's up, Bulls Nation? Happy to be here. It's nice seeing you yesterday, Jordan. You know, I feel like I see you every day because we're on these mics every day. But seeing your beautifully cute face in person was just such a pleasure. Yeah, always a great time stopping by Sports Feed, hanging out with Jarrett Payton last night to talk about our event. Really appreciate them letting us come on the show to get more of the word out with this Bowling with Bobby stuff. And to that end, really quickly, I just wanted to mention and give a shout out to somebody else who's helping us promote this. And that's our friend Wesley, who is a longtime listener of the show. He's got a great Instagram account for Bulls fans. If you're on Instagram a lot and like to follow your favorite teams and favorite players on Instagram, You can follow Wesley's Bulls Instagram account. It's at Chicago Bulls Central, all one word, Chicago Bulls Central. Best Bulls content on the Instagram app. You can find daily Bulls updates, rumors, stats, anything Bulls related. Once again, that's at Chicago Bulls Central. We appreciate Wesley helping us get the word out. He's helping us by throwing our promotional graphics for Bobby's event on his Instagram account. And yeah, I started following him on Instagram probably a couple months back, and he's got really great graphics that he puts up there doing like stat comparisons. Also harkens back to the old days with like great pictures and content of MJ and Scotty and all the old crew. So it's an awesome Instagram follow for Bulls fans, so be sure to check that out.
We should maybe consider changing our name here on Locked On Bulls to Locked On Hair. I feel like both of us yesterday getting the confirmation from Jared Payton that this show should be Locked On Hair instead of Locked On Bulls.
Jordan, I gotta tell you, man. So I got a text from my mom after we did our segment, you know, proud mom. Hey, you were great on TV. Also, what's up with Jordan's hair? my mom was very curious about your hairdo. And she actually asked me, she said, is that a millennial hairdo? And I said, yeah, Ma, that's what the kids are doing these days. They buzz the sides, but they still have the weird flop on top. It's what the kids are doing. And my mom was like, it looks weird. So Jared Payton might be a fan of your hairdo, Jordan. But for the record, my mom
is not.
Hey,
your mother is in the same camp as mine. Every time I see my mom, it's your hair looks terrible. What are you doing with your hair on top? And you know what? Haters are going to hate. And that's what I tell her every time. So it is. It's a millennial thing.
Hey, you do you, man. You do
but,
you.
But yeah, I got the stamp of approval from Jared Payton. So that's all we need. And also shout out to one of our listeners who thinks I look a little bit like Tom Thibodeau. I don't see it. It could be the hair, the matching tie, too.
I hadn't actually thought about it until it came up on Twitter. And then I looked a little more closely, and I was like, oh, my God. He's right. Like, you do bear it's not an uncanny resemblance, but it's certainly like a Tibbs might be your long-lost uncle kind of resemblance.
Oh, I get that. So I've gotten that before. I've gotten Jonah Hill a bunch of times. So yeah, it's interesting. It might be the haircut. It might have been the slicked back hair on top of the suit and tie get together that maybe looks like that. But shout out to our listeners who do that. I'd love to see a side by side as well. So if somebody wants to create that. Some news for us, though, here with the NBA. Yesterday, we found out that the NBA is doing another fabulous thing on top of everything that they've already done over the past couple of years to really let their players express themselves and also to market themselves in a different way. And it comes with a rule now that the NBA is going to allow every player in the NBA to wear whatever colors they want on their shoes every night, any night. And this might seem like a small change for fans, or like some fans might not even care or say, well, they've already been kind of doing that anyway. If you kind of look at what LeBron has been wearing and Kyrie Irving and a couple of these other players who have signature shoes that are allowed to wear a little bit offsetting colors from their actual team. But I think this is absolutely awesome. 100% totally agree that players should be able to express themselves how they want. And it only does better for the league. Like, the league has partnerships with shoe companies all over. This only helps both of them, and it allows players to do what they want and not messing with the uniforms. I'm excited, and personally, I think it's going to grow. The guy that I was telling you about, Schuster Damas, who does all these stencilings for all the NBA players and also does college football in the NFL as well, but it's awesome. I am excited to see what kind of shoes are brought out every single night now throughout the NBA season.
Yeah, I always thought that rule was kind of dumb. Especially when you think about all of the endorsements that a lot of these players have with you know, athletic apparel companies, and in particular shoe deals. It's like, well, these guys all have shoe deals, and they're not allowed to wear the kind of shoes that they want to wear on the court. Like, what about that makes sense? As I said recently, and I think it came up when we were talking about Scottie Pippen's old up-tempo Airs, which are just straight fire. I've never been really into shoes like some basketball fans are. But to me, it's a simple, clear-cut opinion that, yeah, NBA player, if you're in the NBA, you should be allowed to wear whatever kind of sneakers you want to wear. That should just be it. And this is another example of the NBA being progressive and taking forward steps to sort of realize and change some of the silly, antiquated rules that they have, whereas other leagues that they're competing with in this country, like the National Football League, like Major League Baseball, still have those silly, stupid rules. We saw earlier this season, Cubs World Series hero Ben Zobrist getting into it, and he, you know, defended himself on Instagram because he got a letter from Major League Baseball reprimanding him for wearing the wrong kind of baseball cleats, and he said this is ridiculous that this is still a thing. Now we have seen that, I think as of last year or 2 years ago, the NFL allows players 1 week of the year to wear shoes representing whatever cause or, you know, something that they want. But that's one week out of a 16 or 17 week season, 16 games, they're allowed to wear the kind of cleats they want one time. That's ridiculous. They're professional athletes. Let them put whatever on the let them wear what they want to on their feet. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm not a Cubs fan, but shout out to PF Flyers for paying the fine that Ben Zobrist had to pay to, and saying that, you know, whatever fines you get, we'll cover for that. And it seems like the MLB, with getting backlash on Twitter and on social media, it seems like they've kind of lightened the load a little bit. And it's a little hypocritical by the MLB, too. It's like, you had Players Weekend this past weekend where you're allowing players to basically express themselves with cleats, with their bats, with their batting gloves, like all of that stuff. To me, like, why not do that every day? Like, you're trying to get a millennial audience, and the NBA is doing this exactly right. You're trying to get a millennial audience, and you're just going to refine that to one weekend. And same thing with the NFL. You're refining it to one weekend out of the year. The other thing, too, is like they're 10 steps ahead. The NBA is 10 steps ahead of the NFL. The NFL used to fine Devin Hester every time he wanted to wear orange cleats because they didn't match the Bears uniforms. And I remember D'Angelo Williams, his mother passed away from breast cancer, and he would wear pink in his hair and pink all throughout his uniform on the Steelers, and they would fine him. Who fines somebody for representing their mother and for breast cancer awareness, where the NFL does it for an entire month? So shout out to the NBA. The NBA is, honestly, between millennials and now over the next 10 years, you're getting all these millennials that are becoming super fans of the NBA instead of the NFL. Like, we're going to see a transition here in 10 years where you might see the NBA now explode even bigger than it already is. And this is just another step forward. I wanted to tell you, though, I think, out of anybody on this Bulls team, who do you think is going to come with the cleanest, the most creative sneakers on this Bulls team this year? I think it's going to be, low-key, it's going to be Lauri Markkanen. He already showed us a little bit of a tidbit of what he's got in his collection last year playing against the Hawks in March. He had Dragon Ball Z stenciled Nikes, and they were cool. Like, Carl Anthony Towns has done this before. James Harden had Free Meek Mill shoes made by the same guy, Shoesterdamus. If you don't know who this is, go YouTube him, because he makes awesome cleats, awesome basketball shoes too. But I think I'm going with Lauri Markkanen or Zach LaVine for dark horses of coolest shoes this year.
I have no idea who's gonna come out there with the hottest kicks. It would be cool if Jabari did something Chicago related, like if he comes up with a sneaker that is some sort of, you know, paying homage to either Simeon or his Chicago upbringing. I don't know how he would go about
awesome.
That. You know, probably want some sort of artistic aesthetic input from whoever he had designing him, or you know, Lowry Legend doing something relating to his Finnish background. If he had like an awesome, Finland flag concept on his sneaks, that would be pretty cool. Or, you know, hey, maybe Cristiano Felicio can, tag up with Neymar and do some kind of like cross sport, cross league shoe design to honor their Brazilian heritage or something like that. Not exactly like Felicio's getting the shoe deals that Neymar is these days, but hey, it should be fun. Got to assume that LaVine would do something cool as well. Maybe something. Oh, okay. Here's an idea. Zach LaVine goes back to the dunk contest this year and makes a shoe specifically for the dunk contest. How sweet would that be?
Space Jam shoes. Kind of re-imitate what he won his first dunk contest with. Those would be pretty sweet. Other favorable winners here, obviously Omer Sheik's not going to get on the floor, but if he does Cheesecake Factory related shoes, that would be hilarious. Do you know the story behind Omer Sheik and Cheesecake Factory?
Yes, but why don't you give the quick version to our listeners who might not know?
So apparently when Omer Sheik was here the first time, when he was drafted by the Bulls, the Cheesecake Factory was like his spot, and he would pull up in like a $250,000 Ferrari with some, I don't know, but whatever was before Instagram models and all of that, and just pull up to the Cheesecake Factory in this big ass Ferrari and always go there like multiple times a week. So his love for Cheesecake Factory, maybe will be on his shoes this year, but we might not be able to see him because I don't think he's getting off the bench this year.
What about one of his old Stacy calls? Like a Sheik and Destroy, the Super Bowl from Istanbul, Turkish Delight. I would like any of those quotes on a pair of Omer kicks.
And then I think honorable winner too, maybe Zach LaVine putting a body count on guys that he's going to dunk over this year. Same thing with Lauri Markkanen. He could do the same thing. Jakarr Sampson would already be on that shoe from last season and a few others, but they can get really creative. And I think it's going to turn to players starting to get a little petty, and it'll be fun for fans too. So shout out to the NBA once again for allowing players to express themselves and doing it the way that they should to be able to market to not only younger fans, and I know there's going to probably be some pushback from older fans, but who cares? I think it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be cool to see the different type of sneakers out there every single night.
Yeah, it will be. And it's, yeah, like you said, it's just a sign of forward thinking from the NBA, which has been the league that has shown the most of such forward thinking compared to their competitors. As it's like, you know, the phrase like, come on, it's, and fill in the blank year, like it's 2018. Like, how are we still dealing with some of these stupid rules? The NBA has done the best job of all of these major professional leagues in our country when it comes to getting rid of old stupid rules and embracing logic and just having fun and letting your athletes express themselves.
We got to take a short break here on Locked On Bulls, but we come back, we're going to have a discussion about who we think is most likely to make an all-star game. Shout out to one of our new writers over at LockedOnBulls.com. You can read that full article there. We'll talk about that a little bit on the next segment, as well as take your questions at the back end of the show. Stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds.
Welcome back into Locked On Bulls. Matt Peck and Jordan Malley hanging out with you on Wednesday, August 29th. And before we jump into our next topic about Bulls and likely all-star appearances, just wanted to give a quick shout-out to our Bowlin' with Bobby hosts, and that is King's Dining and Entertainment, 1500 North Clybourne Avenue, right in the heart of Lincoln Park on the north side of Chicago. You heard us talk about it a little bit on our appearance on Sports Feed last night, and not only Jordan and I, but Jared Payton can attest to the fact that King's is the place to be if you want to go bowling in Chicago. It's our headquarters for Bowling with Bobby. It should be your headquarters for football all season long. 222-foot bar, the longest bar in Chicago. A full-service restaurant and over 50 HD TVs. Not to mention their 16 pristine 10-pin bowling lanes, 4 billiards tables, air hockey darts, and so much more. Can't wait to go hang out at King's next weekend. A great place to have some drinks, have some food, and bowl and do all sorts of other fun stuff, including making that place your go-to spot to watch football all season long.
So with that, let's talk a little bit about something that we haven't dove into before this season, and that's talking about who is most likely to make an all-star game this year. Is it Lauri Markkanen, Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, Wendell Carter Jr., or Jabari Parker? I feel like outside of those five guys, probably nobody else. I mean, we're not talking about participating in All-Star Weekend. We're talking about the actual All-Star game. So this is a little bit difficult to answer because the way that the NBA has kind of shifted up their All-Star game, guys can select players on which team that they want, and this is relatively new. So it's a little bit different than what it was before, where guys were voted in, and there was a little bit of debate, especially with the Western Conference too, with the amount of stars that are in there, guys that are getting snubbed. So I think this is going to be a little bit easier for guys than necessarily the past for the Chicago Bulls to maybe make an all-star game. So Matt, I'm going to let you start here first. Which guy among the players on this Bulls team so far probably has their best shot at making an all-star game this year?
I want to say that it's Lauri Markkanen. And I think it's fair to suggest that he does have the best shot. And it's no knock on LaVine, and it's no knock on Jabari. And yes, both of those guys have had seasons where they are averaging more points per game than Lauri did as a rookie. I'm just saying we're talking about a guy who we expect to take a big developmental step in his second year, and the other two guys have ACL tears in their rearview mirror. To me, with Jabari maybe having, at least to start the season, a little bit of a adaptation period, and he might struggle in that adaptation period. Zach LaVine picking and choosing the right times to be the ball-dominant player and also trying to improve himself as a guy who makes his teammates better and find looks for his teammates. We've gone over that multiple times this offseason as far as what we expect from those two guys. LaVine on his new contract and Jabari on his one-year prove-it deal with the team option. I still think that just based on what we saw last season and the injury history of LaVine and Parker and the not-so-great small sample size we saw from LaVine and the fact that Jabari is a new piece that has a little bit of a question mark as far as how well he will fit, I'm going with Markkanen. And I know he's younger and in that sense, and less experienced than the other two, and in that sense, it might seem less likely, but I'm still going to go with Markkanen.
Yeah, I'm torn. I'm torn between Markkanen, and I'm also torn between LaVine. Because I feel like if LaVine pops off as far as his scoring goes, people are going to pay attention to that a ton this season. And it's a little weird because the NBA's formatting is a little different now. So it's the highest vote getter among each conference, respectively. Last year, it was LeBron in the East and Steph Curry in the West. And then they were able to pick out of anybody despite the conferences. So last year's, it was Giannis, it was DeMar DeRozan, Joel Embiid, Kyrie Irving, and LeBron James. And then on the West side, it was DeMarcus Cousins, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. And then some of the NBA reserves were Bradley Beal, Victor Oladipo, Kristaps Porzingis, John Wall, Kyle Lowry, Kevin Love, Al Horford, Jimmy Butler, LaMarcus Aldridge, Damian Lillard, Klay Thompson, Karl Anthony Towns, Russell Westbrook, Draymond Green. So among those guys, there's some guys that you can plug in place too. So I think it's going to be an uphill battle for any one of these guys to make an all-star team this year. But if I had to pick, I mean, I would say if LaVine's going to pop off this year, LaVine might have a legit opportunity to make an all-star game. But I think I have to side with you, too. I feel like the second year of Lauri Markkanen, knock on wood, he stays healthy all the way up to the all-star break. I think I'm going with you, too. I think Lauri Markkanen is probably the best case to make an all-star team. Dark horse would probably be Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker, too, even. If he stays healthy and has a good, productive offensive season, I mean, we could see Jabari Parker in the All-Star game as well, especially because the East is depleted as far as, I mean, you've got guys somewhere between Tier 2 and Tier 3 of budding stars, and any one of those guys, all it takes is one guy to pop off for the first 2 or 3 months, and we might see one of those guys in the All-Star game. To me, consolation prize here, Matt, if nobody makes an All-Star game, who would you like to see back in the Rising Stars Challenge? Who would you like to see participate among these Bulls players in All-Star Weekend if nobody is selected for the actual All-Star game?
Well, if Markkanen doesn't make the All-Star team in his second season, which, you know, I think we both agree we would love to see that happen. We're not expecting it to happen. We're just saying it might be the most likely scenario as far as Bulls players. If he doesn't make the All-Star team, obviously you would love to see Markkanen go back to that Rising Stars game, which allows not only rookies but second-year players to participate. And you also hope that Wendell Carter Jr. is asked to play in that game based on what we see from him in what will likely, at least to start the season, be a bench role. But hopefully he looks like one of the elite talents that came out of that 2018 draft class and for that reason is invited to participate. Outside of that, you know, we've talked about maybe LaVine going back to the dunk contest, that would be fun. I don't know if, you know, anybody on this this Bulls team, hey, maybe get Markkanen in a 3-point contest. If he has a strong start to his season from behind the 3-point line, that would be really fun to see as well. We haven't had a Bull in a 3-point contest in quite some time.
I want them to save the LaVine versus Markkanen. If both of those guys stay here till 2020, I want them to save that for the dunk contest, because LaVine has tiptoed around it, saying that, yeah, there's a possibility I'm going to leave the window open for the dunk contest, but right now it's not my main focus. So if he's here to up until 2020, if he's still here, if Markkanen is still here, knocking on wood, that would be a fun matchup at the United Center, seeing both him and Markkanen go head-to-head in the dunk contest. But you're right. I think Markkanen could easily be a part of every one of these challenges in All-Star Weekend. He was part of the Skills Challenge last year, and I think him, Parker, could be a part of the three-point contest, too. Levine could be a part of the three-point contest. Skills Challenge, though, I think Lauri Markkanen maybe could be selected again to do that. But you're right. Wendell Carter Jr., I think Lauri Markkanen playing in the Skills or the Rising Stars Challenge would be a lot of fun to see again next year. And that would be just a little consolation prize if any of these guys don't end up getting selected to the actual All-Star game.
And there are other, you know, there's obviously the departure of LeBron. There's the departure of DeRozan. But there's the arrival of Kawhi to the Eastern Conference. There is the emergence of guys who didn't make the All-Star team last year, but people are expecting them to have huge jump All-Star caliber seasons. And of course, you know, in the East, we're talking about guys like Ben Simmons, Jason Tatum. So I don't know if there's necessarily a larger opening of that All-Star door for guys on this Bulls roster. And now, as opposed to in recent seasons, they're a little bit looser when it comes to strictly defining, okay, when it comes to voting, there has to be a point guard, a shooting guard, a wing. You know, they've sort of just eased up on how they allow people to cast their vote. So it's not like it would necessarily dictate odds based on the position on the floor that these Bulls players are playing. It's just a matter of overall talent across the board in the East compared to last season. I don't know if it's actually any easier than last year.
I'm very curious. Very, very curious. You brought up Jason Tatum, Kawhi Leonard. You've got Ben Simmons and a plethora of other guys that I think in year two or year three, especially in the East.
And I mean, Gordon Hayward.
Gordon Hayward, too.
Like, who was just gone. First quarter of game one last season. There's another potential all-star in the East.
Very exciting. It's going to be an interesting year, but if this team ends up being better than expected, I think you're going to hear some rumblings about a potential player or two trying to make their way to the all-star game. And it'd be a good look for the Bulls, too. If you can get any one of your core five guys to the all-star game in year two of your rebuild, like, that's a very good look for the Bulls. So I think I'm sure it's not among their top three or top five goals of this season, but it would be a nice complement to a development season this year, especially with a lot of your guys being under 25 years old.
Yeah, let's make it happen. And of course, you know, the fan vote is a part of it. And you know, Bulls fans come out in droves when they believe, you know, Markkanen, you know, people were throwing all-star votes at him last season. He didn't get there, but I'm sure Bulls fans will do their part.
We got to take another short break, but we'll come back. We're going to finish up the episode by taking your questions. Remember, you can hit us up, voicemails and text messages, 331-979-1369. You can always hit us up on Twitter, too, at Locked On Bulls, and on Facebook, too. Messages there on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Once again, drop us a voicemail, 331-979-1369. Stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds.
Welcome back into Locked On Bulls. Matt Peck and Jordan Malley hanging out with you on Wednesday. And we are about to dive into a few more mailbag topics to finish out today's episode. Before we get to that, though, just wanted to give a quick shout out to one of the new members of our Locked On Podcast Network team. It is crunch time for fantasy football, and Locked On is delivering. Locked On has a brand new fantasy football show, Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. Fantasy Football 24/7 will give you the latest trends, hot roster moves, and where to get the advantages. Plus, Ethan Turner, the injury expert, gives you an added edge. Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 is here to help you win your league. I just did another draft yesterday, Jordan. After our TV appearance, I had to rush home and crack a beer so that I was ready. Gotta have a cracked beer for your draft. Think it went pretty well. I got two done, two more to go. What about you?
Geez, you're in four fantasy football leagues.
Yeah, this is my sickness, Jordan.
You are ridiculous. I have three teams, and it's difficult to keep up with three. I did two last year. But good for you. Good for you to monitor that. And I'm thinking maybe if we get 10 or 12 fans this year, that'd be interested in doing a fantasy basketball league. I think maybe we could start something up here at Locked On Bulls and be able to do some kind of incentive for the winner at the end. I think that would be a lot of fun. So hit us up if you want to, if you would like to join or like the idea of us doing a fantasy basketball league with some of our listeners out there.
Yeah, we'd love to. That would be awesome. We dabbled in some daily fantasy basketball for one of our sponsors last season. Remember that draft?
Yeah, that was fun too.
We did some daily fantasy basketball, which is always fun. But yeah, I would be definitely down to do a season-long fantasy basketball league if some of our listeners wanted to jump on board. We should definitely think about that. Also, speaking of which, quick shout-out to Josh Lloyd, who does Locked On NBA Fantasy for our network and has been doing season previews for every NBA team. I stopped by his show last week to talk about the Bulls and break down their roster when it comes to fantasy basketball. So you should, if you are, you know, obviously right now is crunch time for fantasy football, but not soon, not soon after that, it's going to be crunch time for fantasy basketball. So if you are a fantasy basketball player, you should be definitely checking out Josh Lloyd's stuff right now.
100%. So let's get to some questions today. From our text message and voicemail line, remember you can hit us up 331-979-1369. Matt, let's dive into the first question here. This one comes from the 708. It says, "Hey guys, I'm texting in because I think we need to stop worrying about how this young core fits together and just enjoy watching them. Maybe this team can follow a similar path as the mid-2000s rebuilding team with Heinrich, Gordon, Deng, and etc. They gave us a sweep over the Heat in an exciting playoff series with the Celtics. By the time we were ready to contend, Deng was the only remaining player from that core. Of course, we did get lucky with Derrick Rose picked down the line, but let's enjoy the ride and see what happens with this team." Matt, I'll let you touch on this one first.
Well, thanks for texting in, and I see what you're saying, and I agree with you. I loved watching those baby Bulls. Them upsetting the defending champion Heat in the first round, that was a lot of fun. That's, you know, some of my fondest post-dynasty memories as a Bulls fan. And that little baby Bulls core was a lot of fun to watch grow and develop. You're not wrong on that front. But I would counter with this. Just because you are excited to see what this young core does in year two of the rebuild, and hopefully we can enjoy watching them play on a nightly basis, and some of that will involve them winning some basketball games, it doesn't mean that you can't also at the same time have your concerns about the proper X's and O's fits of what the Bulls are trying to do this season and the players that they have to do it with. Like, that's, to me, it's not one or the other. It's not black or white. It's not like, well, I can't be excited about this Bulls team and the young pieces of this rebuild because I'm concerned about fit and I'm concerned about the development of this player, or this player, or this player. No, you can do both at the same time. They're not mutually exclusive. That's my take on this.
Let's not forget where we were 2 years ago. Like, how frustrated fans were with this team, with the direction of this team. Like, keep that as your main goal. Like, trading Jimmy Butler away and hitting the reset button was the main reason, because we were all so frustrated with mediocrity here in this city. And that's not what the Chicago Bulls should represent. Six championships and the greatest player of all time should never represent mediocrity at any time. I get you go through ebbs and flows as far as an organization goes, but to settle yourself as far as like saying, okay, let's compare it to the other rebuilding teams here. Like, to me, I don't think that's necessarily the path that the Bulls are on. Like, the Bulls, I think at this point in this rebuild with the players that you have more allotted players that I think we've got higher expectations for than maybe initially with that mid-2000s rebuild. So I would say, like, yes, you're completely right, Matt. You can cheer for this team and be excited for what we're going to see on the court, but also still at the same time talk about the development of the players and ultimately where this is going to end up 2, 3, 4 years from now. So I agree with you, and I think our texter is half right here. Like, yes, you can cheer for them, but at the same time, we're going to sit here and talk about the development of the players, where we see them projected, and sometimes you're not going to like what we have to say, and sometimes people are going to be frustrated with our takes, but that's kind of how this rebuilding is going to go, and that's the way it went last year. So I would say, too, I would agree with you, Matt. It's not mutually exclusive. But you can do both at the same time and still enjoy what the product is on the court.
Yeah, and this isn't meant to be an insult to this texter, but it seems like they're sort of just taking an ignorance is bliss kind of approach here. Where it's like, well, let's not worry about the bad stuff. Let's just, you know, enjoy the excitement of watching this young core compete. Well, okay, on the nights when you're watching the Bulls, and they have an awful night, and they get cooked and lit up for 130 points. And, you know, Zach LaVine has a night where he has really awful shot selection, or Jabari has a night where he's just really frustrated and he doesn't look like he fits all that well. Or, you know, Markkanen is trying to do more in the post and is not, it doesn't have an efficient night. Whatever it is, X, Y, and Z. If you don't enjoy watching the Bulls play that night because of some of the basketball X's and O's reasons for what they're struggling to do, then you have to talk about why they struggled and why they looked bad that night. That's part of the package of being a fan. You can't ignore the bad and only talk about the good. I mean, if you want to, you have that right as a fan. But those of us who are watching this team every day, keeping a close eye on this team through the offseason, and looking back at what these players have done and what they are trying to do, we're going to look at every nitty-gritty little detail, and we're not going to gloss over the bad stuff just because it's not fun to talk about.
I would say this too to this texter, and I don't know what they consider, if they're considering wins and losses this season to be high up there on their goals for this year, but every single game, I would say there's going to be interest on the floor, and at least this season, like Bulls fans who even are casual Bulls fans, if you're not a diehard but you're a casual Bulls fan, you'd be excited and you'd be able to watch a product that you're actually going to want to watch for all 82 games, barring health. But what I would say is every single game is a chance for every one of these guys to develop. For Lauri Markkanen, Chris Dunn, Jabari Parker, Zach LaVine, Denzel Valentine, Bobby Portis, Wendell Carter Jr., for all of these guys, the main core guys that they've been named, to develop a little bit. So even if the Bulls do end up in losses where it's 10-15 points, it matters about where they are in the fourth quarter. It matters about how they're playing together and ultimately what the chemistry is, not necessarily the wins and losses. So I agree with you too. I think it's going to be bad. There's going to be some bad this season, but there's also going to be way better things to talk about as far as the positive things go than there was last season to talk about. So at least there's a step up there. But like I would say, I would circle it back to, remember how it felt being in mediocrity 2 years ago. And that's a place that I don't think as Bulls fans we ever want to be in a place like that ever again. So just remember how that felt and don't sit here and press yourself about the rebuild and say, well, we've got to get even better now and they've got to win games this season. No, look, we've been through one full NBA season of a rebuild and this takes more than 1 year to do that. So, you know, let the process play out, let these guys play out and see where their actual development goes. And I would say give it another year, 2 years, 3 years for this to really take off. And I think you're going to be excited about the results.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to our next one. And this should be a quick one, Jordan. This one comes to us from Jeff in Australia. Another shout out to all of our Australia listeners, as well as our Finland listeners, our Brazil listeners. We gave all you guys a shout out on our local Chicago TV show that Jordan and I were on last night because Jared Payton, the host, was asking us about, you know, what are some of the non-Chicago places where you guys are getting listeners from. And it was really cool to be able to say, yeah, our listeners come from all over the place. So we appreciate you guys and all of our international listeners. We gave you some love on a Chicago TV show last night. So Jeff in Australia asks, what is your points per game, rebounds per game ceiling for Markkanen this season?
All right. So I've been playing this out in my head back and forth for the last couple of weeks. And instead of putting a number on points per game, total rebounds per game, assists, steals, and blocks, I wanted to go by percentage. So what's the percentage increase that Markkanen can get to? What's the path that Markkanen's got to be on that's similar to other guys that have broken out in their first 3 years? You look at Porzingis, and Porzingis took about a 15% increase from points per game from his first year to his second year. And then his second year to his third year was a complete increase. It was like 30-35% increase as far as points go. So if we're talking about a percentage increase here, I would say Markkanen's got to probably be between 15 and 20% increase in his points per game. So that would put you at about 3 points per game more per game this season for me to say, okay, that's a pretty good jump. So that would take him from 15.2 points per game in his rookie season to 18.2 points per game in his rookie season. And I think flirting with the idea that you're almost at 20 per game, if not more than that, like, that's good for a guy that's not even 21 yet. So look at that. I think rebounds per game, Markkanen has proved himself. Like, people talked about him coming out of college not being a great defender, not being able to move his feet, not being a great rebounder. Like, Markkanen put up 7.5 rebounds last year, and he wasn't really necessarily asked to do that a whole ton, to be the guy that's crashing the boards. He was more so asked to just work on his offensive game and flourish there. So I think rebounds per game, too, you could talk about a 10, 15, 20% increase. I think flirting around 8.5 to 9 rebounds a game would be perfect for Markkanen. So my stat line for him next year, if I'm going for a bar to set, 18 points per game, 9 rebounds. And I'd like to see those assist numbers come up a little bit. And I think they will, because think about all the weapons that Lowry's got around him now. He's got LaVine, he's got Dunn, he's got Parker, and he's got Carter. And then if he's playing in rotations with Bobby Portis, you've got that there too. So I'd like to see all of those jump up. But the most important part is to see a percentage increase from last season, more so than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, well, so you went the percentages route. If Jeff in Australia is asking about ceiling, I'll say this: 23 points per game and 10 rebounds per game. Now that would be an amazing all-star potential season for Markkanen. I'm saying the question was ceiling, so that's where I'm capping it. Like, I would say there is basically a 0% chance that Markkanen manages to somehow outdo 23 and 10. Like, that would be nuts if all of a sudden he makes a jump to being a guy who averages more than 23 a game and also grabs at least 10 rebounds per game. The rebounds, I think, can take a significant uptick because, and we've talked about this, the guy's put on some muscle. He was an underrated rebounder coming into the draft based on what people were expecting and what we saw as a rookie. And that was when he was still a scrawny little rookie. He's added the muscle, so you hope that he can, in addition to maybe getting some blocks, because he was not an efficient shot blocker last season, basically non-existent, but also muscling a few more rebounds down. So the rebounds, I think, are more likely to have a big uptick than the points. And that goes back to how many shots is Jabari taken? How many shots is LaVine taken? Which is why, you know, a ceiling is at 20, 22, or 23. Because I just don't know if Markkanen's 12.7 field goal attempts per game last season are going to go up considerably this season. When you think about in this hypothetical, you know, presumptive scenario of a full healthy 82 or close to 82 for LaVine. And now also adding Jabbar. But, I mean, if Markkanen does 23 and 10, I'll be dancing through the streets.
Yeah, same here. That's the only thing that's like, I was trying to temper my expectations just a little bit because I don't want to be disappointed if he doesn't reach that threshold. And it might be difficult for him to do that with shooters around him now. Look, Lowry Markkanen only was a usage percentage at 21.9% last season with the garbage roster that they did have last year. So I'm hoping that there's an uptick in his usage and that helps him out as far as his points, his rebounds go, and his assists go next season. But I would say probably hanging around the 20 points per game marker is probably a pretty good bar to set. And like you said, the ceiling, 23 points per game in his second year, that would be ridiculous.
It would. And so that's, you know, the word was ceiling, and so that's why I put it there. Not expected or projected, but ceiling. And another thing to think about, Lowry did have a pretty ugly shooting slump in the middle of the season. Remember that? Like, yeah, he was the fastest to make 100 threes, and then he had a pretty ugly shooting slump. If Markkanen manages to improve upon that 36.2 three-point percentage from his rookie year, which, you know, 36% from three as a rookie, you know, that's no slouch number. That's respectable. But as a guy who has been kind of billed as like a three-point arsenal kind of guy, the three-point assassin kind of guy, if that upticks to 38, 39, maybe even he hits the 40 mark from behind the three-point line this season, all of a sudden it's a whole lot more feasible to be putting up 20 points a game if you're making one or two more threes a
game.
Yeah,
the two worst months that Lowry Markkanen had last season in his rookie year were in November, where he shot 38.3%. He played 15 games and started in all 15 of those. And then the other one was in February when he, you know, had the...
The month that Zach LaVine played the entirety of that month?
Yes.
Yeah, boom.
But
there
also, too, come on. Let's not knock Zach LaVine for all of this. Lowry Markkanen missed about, what, 2.5 weeks? 2 weeks? Because he was expecting his child. So then he came back after being out of the rotation for 2 weeks, had to kind of reacclimate himself, and he only shot 39%.
Yeah, a little rusty. But while he was gone, LaVine hijacked the offense.
And so, but then I look at the month of March, and I look at the month of April, especially April, those five games at the last and tail end of the season. Markkanen was averaging 19.4 points per game in only 24 minutes. So that's pretty sweet to see. And he was shooting over 50%, 50.8%. And he was shooting 58.1% from three. That is absolutely absurd. But then in February, like you had said, I think the field goal percentage also is tailored to his high number of threes that he was taking all season last year. And in February, he only shot 17.6% from three. So you'd like to see those months kind of fade away. And like I said, those 2 months, November and February, where you can make cases for both of it. November, he was just getting his feet wet, first 20 games of the season. And also the Bulls were not very good in November. They were 3-20 at the end of November. So I look at both of those. If you can eliminate those two bad months and replace them with, you know, average months that he had among December, January, March, and April, like, you're probably hanging around that point of 20 points or more per game. All right, final question of the day. Remember, you can hit us up, 331-979-1369. If you want to be a part of the conversation, drop us a text message or a voicemail, 331-979-1369. So this one comes from the 815, and it says, I'm surrounded by pessimistic Bulls fans. No one loved the Wendell Carter Jr. pick. They all hate the front office, despise the LaVine signing, scoff at the Parker signing, and mock Felicio's contract. And it doesn't stop there. They don't think the Bulls will ever make it over the hump from a playoff contending team to a championship contending team until the front office, or at least Gar Foreman, is gone. I want to be an optimistic Bulls fan, but I think Vegas is on point. Just ask Jimmy's Famous Seafood. What do you guys think about it? That my beloved Bulls are going to be Memphis 2.0, going right back to where they are trying to get away from mediocrity, aka NBA purgatory. So do you guys feel like this team 2-3 years down the road is headed for mediocrity and NBA purgatory again? Or do you guys see a different path for this Bulls team with the young core in place? Let me know your thoughts. Thanks, Josh.
Well, it sounds like Josh is hanging out with too many bloggable people. If those are the kind of people that he's interacting with as far as the Bulls fans he's talking to on a daily basis, just all gloom and doom, everything's bad, everything's awful, hashtag FireGarPax. Expand your horizons. Find some Bulls fans who are more optimistic than you. Hey, we had Fred on last week, and it was a refreshing change of pace. Not that we're pessimists on this show. We're realists on this show. But to his point about, are we just on our way to being back in mediocrity, back in NBA purgatory, my answer is that it's possible, Josh. It's possible. It is one of many possible outcomes where we stand right now on the precipice of year two of the rebuild. And I think we've said this before on the show, but I'll remind y'all, there is a difference between a young NBA team with a lot of exciting young pieces on its roster working its way towards being a team in the middle compared to a old team that is going nowhere, treading water, stuck in the middle. And that is what the Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo three alphas experiment was. That was an old roster. It was a disjointed roster. And the best they could muster was barely squeaking in as the eighth seed. And then, you know, Rondo, because he was playing his old Celtics team, had two of the best playoff games of his life. And the Bulls surprise everybody and go up 2-0 and then promptly lose the next four, which made sense to everyone that has half a basketball brain. So that is a situation where you're stuck in the middle and there's really no room for improvement or no upward avenues to take. Right now, we don't really know what the ceiling is for this young core that the Bulls have assembled. And there is certainly a possibility, if not a likelihood, that sometime in the next one or two or three seasons, the Bulls will be one of those teams who don't look like a legitimate contender to make a deep playoff run, but they're in the playoff hunt and they make the playoffs as a 5-8 seed. And hey, maybe they surprise somebody and win their first round playoff series, but then they're bounced in round two, which is kind of what people see as NBA mediocrity. Either that or just barely missing the playoffs and not being bad enough to get a high lottery pick. That's where you don't want to be. But there's a difference between working your way to that stage as a young team versus being stuck there as an old team. And that's the difference between where the Bulls are now and where they were a year ago.
Look, it's funny to shoot off your tweets about Cristiano Felicio and his terrible contract. And sure, if you don't like Jabari Parker signing, Matt can attest to that too. And I said, like, I'm skeptical about Parker signing as well. I completely disagree about the despising of Levine signing and the Carter pick. Then you just didn't pay enough attention to college basketball or scouting for that matter, as far as the draft goes, because literally every single person, including all of the first round picks, have agreed that they feel like Wendell Carter Jr. is going to have the best career.
The 2018 rookie draft class all collectively chose Wendell with the most votes as who will have the best NBA
career. So some of these fans you're hanging
so.
Out with, I think, are misinformed and don't like the idea. Maybe they're Jimmy Butler fans. Maybe they're fans that were hated the trade last year when they decided to rebuild. My point would be here, I think you're right, Matt. I think we don't know at this point. Just because Markkanen, like, we've seen good things from Markkanen, we've seen good things from Dunn. Bobby Portis had a really good season, and he seems like he could be a part of that second unit. Denzel Valentine had a decent season last year. You've got pieces, but your main core, you've only seen 12 games from, and now you're adding Parker and Carter to that mix too. I think this season you're really going to be able to tell sort of where this path is going the following 2-3 seasons. But I would say the Bulls are probably in the best position among all of the rebuilding teams of recently. Like, you could end up being Orlando. You could end up being Sacramento. Like, those teams have been hanging out in mediocrity for 10 years. Look at the Charlotte Hornets.
And not even mediocrity. They've been hanging out in a damp cellar.
That's true, too. So what I would say is it's hard for me to sit here and tell you, yes, this team is going to be great. Yes, they're on the path to back to championship, top 3 seed in the East. It's hard for me to tell you that right now because we haven't seen any of these young core guys play together for a full healthy season. But with that said, I think the Bulls have aligned themselves in such a way that they've thrown as many darts as possible at the board, and all you need a little bit of luck in order for this to work out. And I think, you know, you can talk about Markkanen too as being, you know, you need him to hit as an all-star to really ramp things up, or you need Levine to hit, or you need Parker to hit, or you need Carter to hit, or you need Dunn to hit. That's 5 guys. Like, can other rebuilding teams say that you have legitimately 5 guys that could potentially be all-star caliber players? I don't see any other rebuilding team that's able to sit here and say that right now. So what I would say is I think the Bulls are on a good path right now after year one in the rebuild. But still, there is a ton of unknowns and whether or not this is actually going to work out on the floor and how they compete and how they match up to some of these other teams that are on the rise. Like, you're looking at teams that are in the playoffs like the Bucks. And I'm looking at other teams like Indiana who are trying to make a push as far as a new up-and-coming Eastern Conference team as far as young and youthful. But I think the Bulls, as far as the lottery teams go and the teams that were tanking last season, they've aligned themselves the best possible position to get them back over the hump and outside of mediocrity. So I'd say it's more likely that the Bulls are on a better path and not on the path to mediocrity once again, maybe 2 or 3 seasons down the road.
I think our friend Josh needs to find himself some new Bulls fans friends. I think that's what I think.
They're not allowed on the bandwagon. They're banned from the Bulls bandwagon if this team does pop off this year.
Yep, that sounds fair to me.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Remember, every single week we do mailbag, 331-979-1369. You can hit us up on Twitter, too, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. You want to drop us a question on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Bowling with Bobby Portis tickets are on sale. Please go buy your tickets. If you want to support the show, if you want to support the Bulls, support Bobby Portis, buy your tickets today, 2 to 6 p.m. September 8th.
Or if you just want to see Jordan get his ass kicked.
We'll see about that. No confidence in anybody out here. So if you want to come out, it's going to be an awesome afternoon. 2 to 6 p.m. Saturday, September 8th, Bowling with Bobby Portis. You can get your tickets on Facebook, Twitter, Eventbrite.com, search Bowling with Bobby or Locked On Bulls, and you'll be able to find it right there. There's plenty of ways to do it. So go buy your tickets today. Do not wait because they are going to go fast. We want to see everybody there, and we want to see the support you guys have been giving us on the podcast turn over into this live event. So we're super excited about this. And I know Bobby Portis, for a fact, is super excited about this event too. And he wants to meet every single one of you. So get there, buy your tickets, eventbrite.com, Facebook, or Twitter. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern at 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com